Let's turn to 2 Samuel in chapter 6 and look at these verses that we read together this morning. The Ark of God belonged at the heart of his people. In Numbers chapter 2, we have a vivid picture of how after the tent of meeting, otherwise known as the tabernacle, was set up and the Ark of God was placed within it, the people of Israel camped all around it. And they were facing inward, looking at the tabernacle. God, as we see in verse 2 of our reading, had chosen to dwell between the cherubim of the Ark of God. And although God is neither confined to time or place, he chose that place as his place of meeting with his people. And in a very real sense, God and his word were at the heart of his people. And that should never have changed, whether in Old Testament times or in New Testament times. God and his word should be at the heart of his people. However, after a while, the wonder of having God at the heart of the Israelite community gave way to a sort of superstition. And on one occasion, when they were lining up for battle against the Philistines, it was decided to bring the Ark of God to the front line in an attempt to win God's favor. And it didn't work. God had deserted his people, and he allowed the Ark to be captured by the Philistines. But reading the story of 1 Samuel, and it's a wonderful read, it's clear that the Philistines, having captured the Ark of God, found it too hot to handle. They suffered one disaster after another, and in the end decided to return the Ark to Israel. And the leaders of the Philistines, having taken advice from their priests, and diviners, whatever that word means, returned the ark with various gifts on a new cart to Israel. At first the ark came to a place called Beth Shemesh, where the Levites took it down off the cart, and the men of Beth Shemesh broke up the new cart, built a bonfire, and offered burnt offerings and sacrifices to the Lord for the return of the ark. But then the men dishonored the Lord and did what was forbidden. And they looked into the ark and they suffered God's judgment and died. From there, it was sent to Kirjath-Jearim and received into the house of Abinadab. And here, 20 years later, King David decided it was high time to bring the Ark of God back to where it belonged, back to the heart of the community, so that God and his word were seen to be at the heart of the community. David had settled into Jerusalem. He had made it his capital city. He had set up the tent of meeting there and now wanted to bring the Ark of God back to its rightful place. He wanted for him and his people that daily reminder that the Almighty God was their God and His Word was their guide. And as a fellowship, I want to ask us, can we say that the Almighty God is at the heart of our community? That His Word is at the heart of our community, and that He is with us day by day? A good question, isn't it? Then in verse 3, David and those with him placed the Ark of God on a new cart and began the journey to Jerusalem. And it was a great time of celebration. David danced before the Lord. Well, I'm not going to demonstrate that this morning. But then, disaster struck. As they came to Nacon's threshing floor, the oxen pulling the cart stumbled. Uzzah, who was steering the oxen and the cart, instantly reached out his hand to steady the Ark of God. But God had said, no one should touch any of the holy things that furnished the tent of meeting, and added, lest they die. And there and then, Uzzah died beside the Ark of God. There were, in the Old Testament, people who did things that God had said were deserving of death and did not die. But both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we find instances where people did die, and it almost seems that they were an example to say to the people of God, God can do this if people are disobedient to him. I think of Uzzah here. I think of Ananias and Sapphira in the book of the Acts. And Uzzah died. And by this act, God reminded his people and us too of how important it is that we treat holy things according to his word. That we do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That we do not distort His gospel. That we do not play down the importance of His Word, the Holy Scriptures. That we love His church, His people. That we recognize that our bodies are holy, His temple. And many other things that we see in the scriptures. And we have this reminder of how important it is that we treat holy things according to His word. Uzzah's death brought the whole procession to an abrupt halt. The music stopped. The joy of the occasion gave way to mourning, and in David's case, to anger and fear. David had been trying to restore the Ark of God to its central position in the life and worship of Israel. But now he dare not take the ark any further. God's action had shocked David. It had stunned David. He clearly needed time to reflect on what had happened and learn some important lessons about God himself. David needed to learn that God really was the Lord Almighty. He really needed to learn that the Lord is true to his word. That God is not limited to what human beings consider to be fair and reasonable. That his ways really are higher than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. That God can act in a way that to our poor minds are unpredictable. As one person I read as I prepared for this morning, we get a little jumpy when we discover that God can do as he pleases. We prefer a God who does what we please. These are hard lessons to learn. They were hard lessons for David. They are hard lessons for us, but they are important lessons nevertheless. But there was another lesson that David needed to learn before ever they set out again with the Ark of God. David needed to learn that God expects obedience from his people. Why was the Ark of God on a new cart? Why was the Ark of God on a new cart? Why? Because that was the mode of transport that had been suggested by the Philistine priests and diviners, and accepted by the Philistine chiefs when they sent the Ark of God back to Israel. But that was not God's mode of transporting the Ark for his people. God had turned a blind eye to the ignorance of the Philistines. But he had given clear instructions to the Israelites about how the ark should be transported. It was to be carried by a specific group of Levites, the sons of Kohath. They were to carry the ark, not touching the ark, but using poles that were inserted through rings on either side of the ark, so that no one need touch the ark of God itself. Instead of being angry with God, David ought really have been angry with himself for failing to carry out God's instructions. And David learned that lesson. And the next time he tried to bring the Ark of God to Jerusalem, he was careful to handle it correctly, as the book of Chronicles makes clear to us. But have we learned that lesson too? There is an old hymn that has one or two twee lines, but nevertheless expresses a real truth in its chorus when it says, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." When God makes his way plain, we are not at liberty to say, "I'll do it my way." While David took time to reflect on all that had happened, the Ark of God was taken into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. Now that seems a very strange choice. Because he, according to Joshua 13, was a Philistine from Gath. What a strange home to choose for the Ark of God. However, his house was obviously near and convenient for parking the Ark while David calmed down and decided to what to do next. We don't know why Obed-Edom was living in close proximity to Jerusalem. He was obviously comfortable living amongst the Lord's people and not made to feel unwelcome. He may well have been a God-fearer. And the 3 months that Obed-Edom housed the ark was a great time of blessing for him and his household. So much so that everyone was talking about it. And the king was told, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." Isn't it wonderful when people talk about God's blessing to his people in the street? I wonder if it was a report of this incident that filtered back to Obed-Edom's community that led some time later to 600 Gittites joining King David when Absalom rebelled against him. But may our homes be places where God and his word are welcome. And may the Lord bless us as individuals and our families and our fellowship so that people notice his blessing and say, "We will come with you, for we have heard that the Lord is with you." Such is the darkness of the world around us today that blessings that we almost take for granted can make a huge impression. It's surprising what little things people notice. And sometimes there are surprises. I remember hearing the testimony of a lady who, quite early in the morning, had woken up and got her children ready for school, and her children had played her up horrendously. And she was at the end of her tether when the doorbell rang, and it was a neighbour who came and said to her, "I've just observed what your Christian faith means to you, and I'd like to know more about it." She said the Lord was great at choosing his timing that particular day. May God bless our testimony. Just the little things that we say and do that others may take note that we have been with Jesus and been blessed by him. As many of you know, on Wednesday, we buried a sister of my wife, Janet, who, before she died, had suffered a debilitating illness. But such was the testimony of the family and friends to the grace of God in the Thanksgiving service for her life that it made a profound impression on those who gathered. And I had a number of thrilling conversations with people who are not church attenders in the as we took refreshments afterwards. And I would not be at all surprised if that service was a stepping stone to others coming to trust and to follow our Lord Jesus. When David heard of the blessings that the Lord was bringing to Obed-Edom, he decided it was time to bring the Ark of God to Jerusalem. However, this time he was much more careful. And as I mentioned, in 1 Chronicles 15 and verse 2, David said, "No one may carry the ark of God but the Levites of the Lord. He has chosen them to carry the ark of God and to minister before him forever." There was obviously a sense of trepidation as the new procession set off. They had only taken 6 steps when they stopped and offered a sacrifice of a burnt offering and thanksgiving and peace offering to the Lord. But bringing the Ark of God to Jerusalem was a time of great celebration. There was shouting and the sound of a trumpet. And David, wearing a simple linen ephod, danced before the Lord. In the Near East, until relatively recently, it was normal for someone wishing to show special honour to dance in this way. And so the Ark of God was brought into the tent of meeting that was prepared by King David, and other offerings were brought. And then at the end of this public celebration, King David blessed the people and gave them gifts of bread and meat and a cake of raisins. But the Ark of God was back where it belonged, at the heart of his people. However, when David returned home to bless his family and household, he discovered that Michal, his wife, was far from happy. She had looked out on David dancing before the Lord and frankly found it embarrassing. How could he do it? Michal had grown up as a king's daughter, and it would seem that appearance and being seen to be above the commoner was very important to Michal. But David reminded her that God had chosen him instead of her father as king over Israel, and he would rule as he felt appropriate. Michael's concern was not even on his radar, and he was determined to continue to humble himself before the Lord, to identify with his people. And he would gladly appear to be undignified for the Lord's sake. And sadly, from that day, a gulf appeared between David and Michal. Although we may have some sympathy with Michal, David's determination to identify with his people and walk humbly with his God is an example to us. These are key ingredients: identifying with people and walking humbly with the Lord in sharing the love of God with others. They are crucial ingredients in evangelism. For how can we evangelize if we don't identify with the people we are seeking to communicate the gospel to and walking humbly with the Lord? They are crucial in church leadership and in pastoral care. And in pointing us in this direction, David was also pointing forward to great David's greater son, who identified with us in every way in order to represent us, and who humbled himself to the extent of hanging on a cross in all its shame, in order that we might have our sins forgiven and he might make atonement for us. Sadly, Michael's disapproval and contempt of David went unchecked and destroyed their relationship. And let us be warned by that. Let us be warned about our relationships, because in our families, in our work, in our leisure activities, and in our church fellowship as well, if disapproval and contempt are allowed to come in and spoil relationships, they can wreck them always. Let us ever seek to put things right between our families and our fellow believers. Indeed, as we reflect on this passage, may God and his word be at the heart of all we do, and may we seek to walk humbly with him. Amen.